Hi, this is the September 30, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Karen Finnegan. On the front cover is a photo of a huge wildfire with a lone fireman standing near it, and the headline reads, "Into the Fire. Find out what it's like to fight one of this year's biggest wildfires." National News. Facing the Flames. This summer, firefighters in California battled one of the biggest blazes in state history. As you read this article, think about what are some of the challenges of fighting wildfires. Words to know. Contain. Verb, to keep from spreading to control. Evacuate. Verb, to move away from a dangerous area or situation. The call came in just before 3 p.m. on July 24th. A fire had started in a park in Chico, California. Firefighters were on the scene within minutes. By then, the fire had crossed a road and was quickly moving uphill through thick brush and trees. Over the next several hours, the fire exploded in size. By 3 a.m., it had burned an area the size of about 34,000 football fields. "I've never seen a fire grow so fast in my career," says Chief Garrett Soland. He's worked for the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, or CAL FIRE, for more than 25 years. Firefighters soon arrived from nearby communities and across the state. The wildfire, called the Park Fire, became the fourth largest in California state history. Early on, more than 6,000 men and women were working to contain the blaze. A month later, the fire was mostly under control, though it was still burning. The Park Fire wasn't the only big blaze in the United States this year. In late February, Texas had its biggest wildfire on record, which spread into Oklahoma. By late August, fires had already scorched more land in Oregon than in any previous year. This time of year is often the peak of fire season. That means fire crews can expect to be especially busy for weeks. Burning up. It takes several ingredients to create a wildfire. Dry, hot weather is often one of them. Much of the western U.S. suffered through a heat wave in July. On the day the Park Fire began, the temperature in Chico soared above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. The extreme heat, along with a lack of moisture in the air, caused tall grasses and trees to dry out. Dead vegetation is the perfect fuel for wildfires because it burns easily. Then all it takes is a spark. Fires can start naturally from lightning, but about 90% of wildfires are started by people. The Park Fire began when someone pushed a burning car into a ditch. He was soon arrested. Then strong winds helped the blaze quickly spread out of control. By the next morning, the flames were so intense that firefighters couldn't safely battle them directly. When you've got a big wall of fire coming at you, there's nothing a couple of fire engines are going to do to stop it, explains Captain Dan Collins of CAL FIRE. As the fast-moving flames threatened nearby towns, firefighters shifted their focus to protecting homes and helping people evacuate. As Scholastic News went to press, the fire had destroyed about 600 homes and other structures. Fortunately, no one had been injured. Battling blazes. During the first few days of the Park Fire, firefighters didn't get much time to rest. There were folks working 48 hours straight, says Collins. They were taking breaks and eating when they could, but they weren't sleeping. Like many wildfires, this one mostly burned through remote areas with few roads. To complicate matters, much of the landscape was steep and rocky. Like many wildfires, this one mostly burned through remote areas with few roads. To complicate matters, much of the landscape was steep and rocky. That meant firefighters often had to hike uphill in extreme heat to reach the fire's edge, and they did it while wearing about 15 pounds of protective gear and carrying hoses or other equipment. "It's all about staying positive, putting your head down, and getting the job done," Collins says. How to fight a wildfire. Battling a wildfire is different from fighting a fire in a home or an office building. Wildfires often start in areas of the forest that are hard to reach. Putting out a wildfire requires special equipment and many teams working together. Planes or helicopters drop water or chemicals to slow the spread of a blaze. Fire engine teams travel to the edges of a fire. They attack the flames with water from hoses. Bulldozer teams clear away vegetation, such as bushes and dead trees, leaving just the bare earth. This starves the fire and can stop it from spreading. Ground crews dig trenches. They also use chainsaws, rakes, and other tools to clear vegetation that might fuel a fire. These firefighters often go into areas that big trucks can't get to. Media literacy. Can you spot the fake? As you read this article, think about what are some reasons people share false information online. Words to know. Reliable. Adjective. Dependable or trustworthy. Skeptical. Adjective. Not easily convinced. Having doubts about something. False information seems to be everywhere online. Here's what you need to know to look out for. Indiana residents were alarmed. Last December, a social media post claimed that two lions had escaped from the Indianapolis Zoo. The post included a photo of lions walking outside at night. Within hours, it had been shared more than 20,000 times. But the post was fake. The zoo explained that no animals had escaped. The photo in the post had actually been taken in 2015 in South Africa. The post is one of countless examples of online disinformation. That's false or inaccurate information that is meant to purposely mislead people. It's never been easier to create and share content online. Just about anyone can edit photos, videos, and audio clips, or create entirely new ones that seem real. That can make fakes hard to spot. According to a recent survey, only 23% of adults said they felt very confident that they could identify false information. That's a problem because not all fake content is harmless. It's often meant to trick people into thinking or acting a certain way. Here are some tips to help you tell fact from fiction. Check your emotions. News from reliable sources is meant to inform. It gives people facts so that they can make up their own minds about events and issues. False information, however, is often meant to get a strong emotional reaction from people. We're more likely to believe disinformation that makes us scared or angry, according to the American Psychological Association. Around election time, fake content can be used to affect Americans' opinions about a candidate and change how they vote. Even though you can't vote, understanding what's true and what's not helps everyone make better decisions, says Jamie Nunez of Common Sense Media. That organization aims to help kids spot false information online. Consider the source. It's important to understand where information you see online comes from. Reporters from reliable news organizations do a lot of research. They interview sources and make sure their facts are correct. Now think of your favorite YouTubers. Their goal is probably to entertain you. Many online stars are called influencers. They try to get people to think or feel a certain way, or to persuade them to buy something. They often do that with opinions, not facts. And having millions of followers just means they're popular. It doesn't mean you can trust everything they say. Think like a detective. Fake articles, photos, and videos seem to get harder to spot each day. But there are still some basic steps you can follow to identify them. It starts with being skeptical. Ask yourself, is this really real? Suggests Nunez. If your gut tells you something seems fake, you're probably onto something. Then you need to dig deeper. Understand what the clues are and look for them, Nunez explains. If the clues point to disinformation, make sure you don't share the post, and let your friends know if the content they share is fake. Sharing correct information will allow us to build trust with others, Nunez says. Real versus fake. Even real news can be hard to believe sometimes, but answering these questions can usually lead to the truth. Who posted it? The Sea Otter post was made by CBS News, a trusted news organization that has been around since 1927. But if you research the account that shared the whale post, do not be fooled, you'll see it's not reliable. What do others say? Many other respected news sources reported the strange but true story of the surfboard-eating sea otter. The only news you might find out about the whale and surfer is that the story is a hoax. And what that is referring to is a photo of two iPhones, one with a picture of a young boy and an otter on a surfboard. And it says, "Sea otter seen stealing board from surfer in ocean." And then the other photo is a picture of somebody surfboarding on a huge wave. And it says, "Whale crashes Olympic surfing event." Culture connections. My superpower. Word to know. Fluent. Adjective, able to speak a language well. What if you could have a superpower? Would you want to fly like a bird, run as fast as a cheetah? Risley Maldonado Quintero says she has a different type of superpower. The fourth grader from Norwalk, Connecticut, is bilingual. She can speak, read, and write in both English and Spanish. Risley is among the more than 67 million people in the U.S. who speak more than one language. Earlier this year, she came in first place in a national essay contest for bilingual students. Fleeing home. Until she was 6 years old, Risley lived in Venezuela, a country in South America. Crime is a big problem where she grew up, and her parents often feared for their family's safety. Hoping for a better future, Risley's family decided to come to the U.S. They're among the more than 7 million people who have fled Venezuela since 2014. The family arrived in Norwalk in February 2022. Friends in the area helped them settle into their new home. Risley and her older sister, Magdielis, soon started classes at Silvermine Dual Language Magnet School. Risley was nervous on her first day. She recalls tightly holding her sister's hand. "I thought kids were going to bully me because I didn't speak English," she says. But her classmates were welcoming, and she made new friends. Still, Risley faced a major challenge. Learning English. With the help of her teachers and an app called Duolingo, she became fluent. Now Risley is helping her mom and dad learn English. In the meantime, she says, one of the best things about being bilingual is being able to translate for her parents when they're at stores or when people call their home. Risley sometimes misses Venezuela since most of her relatives still live there, but she's grateful for her life in the U.S. and for learning a new language. "When I came to America when I was 6, I was scared. I didn't know English," Risley wrote in her essay. "Now being bilingual is my superpower." Debate it. Should kids learn music in school? The sound of music is filling the halls of public elementary schools in Albuquerque, New Mexico. In the past, students in Albuquerque had music classes only every other year. Now kids in every grade there have music class for 45 to 60 minutes each week. Joe Gershon is the performing arts director for Albuquerque Public Schools. He says learning to read and play music can help students perform better in other subjects. "The skills you pick up directly translate into math and reading," Gershon says. Studies have shown many benefits of music classes. Among other things, researchers have found that music lessons can improve students' attention spans and boost their confidence. Though most people aren't opposed to music classes, not everyone thinks they're worth the money. In recent years, many schools nationwide have cut their music programs because of a lack of funding. The money they've saved often helps pay educators who teach other subjects like math and reading. Here's what two of our readers think. Kalia Flores from Utah says, "Yes, every school should have a music program. It gives kids a break from their other classes. My music class lifts my mood and helps relieve stress." Music programs also teach kids discipline and hard work. "In my class, we're learning to play the recorder. I have to practice each day so I can play it well. Plus, sometimes we play songs together as a class, which takes teamwork. That's an important skill in and out of the classroom, whether you're doing group projects or playing team sports." Aaron Van Dam from Massachusetts says, "No, music education is important, but schools should dedicate their limited time to other classes, such as math and science. Those subjects are more likely than music to be a part of your job in the future. Music programs can also be expensive to run, and some districts can't afford them. Schools could use the money saved to buy new textbooks or computers for other classes. Kids who are interested in music can take lessons after school." What do you think? Highlight evidence to support your opinion and then use that information to write an argument essay. You can cast your vote at sn56.scholastic.com. News review. Wildfires up close. More than 21,000 firefighters have battled U.S. wildfires this summer. At the end of August, dozens of large wildfires were burning in the western U.S. The largest wildfire ever recorded in Texas started in February. It scorched more than 1 million acres of land. 1 acre is equal to 3/4 of a football field. Number of acres burned in the U.S. in 2023, 2,694,000. And in 2024, 6,118,000. On the last page, there's an infographic about wildfires up close. You might want to ask your parent, teacher, or guardian to help you with the questions related to it. There are also other questions related to the rest of the issue that you can ask for help with. That completes the September 30th, 2024 edition of Scholastic News for grades 5 and 6. I'm Karen Finnegan. So long until next time.